The epistle to be read today for the third Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. At that time, the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said therefore to him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou not be Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there hath stood one in the midst of you, whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. These words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, there are many examples of God helping and assisting the Jews in the Old Testament, even in their ingratitude to God. He took care of them and provided for them. And when they were in need, they confidently prayed and did penance, and God answered their prayers, even if they showed their ingratitude right after. God's fatherly care for mankind is abundantly shown in these examples. Now, there's an interesting story about the Israelites, and it happened at the time of the king Ezekias and Isaiah the prophet. The event is referred to often in sacred scriptures. We often read it in the Psalms that the priest prays at Mass and in his breviary. You see, at the time, the Syrians were trying to subdue the Jewish race and overtake them. And so they attacked the great city of Jerusalem, which was the capital and heart of the Jewish nation. The great city was surrounded by an immense Assyrian army of about 200,000 men. King Ezekias therefore knew he and his people had no chance. They were greatly outnumbered, and so he turned to God for help. And he confidently prayed to him. He asked God to come to their assistance. And God, in fact, did come to and help them. He sent an angel in the night to the camp of the Assyrians, and the angel killed about 185,000 men from the Assyrian army. So out of the 200,000, there barely remained 15,000 men. And so, to the astonishment, the few that survived woke in the morning to find the soldiers right next to them dead. And so the Assyrian king had to flee in shame and was later murdered by his own sons. Now, a certain author presented the question which many people do today. Why does not God assist us in our prayers? Why doesn't he hear my prayer? And the answer is, he does, but is in different way, of course, than we see with this example of the Jews and God sending the angel in the night. God does hear our prayers, but God is still concerned with our well-being, just as he was with the Israelites that he saved. Of course, we also need to have the same faith and confidence as King Ezekias and God will hear our prayers. In fact, it is a dogma of our faith that God answers all our prayers. He promised to do so, and so he will. It may not be according to the way we just judge best for ourselves. No, rather, God answers our prayers for what is best for us, whether we know it or not. Now, as we approach Christmas, we ought to renew our confidence in God and in our prayers. We should think about all he has done for us. We often think about and always have before our eyes what is wrong in our life, all of our problems and crosses. Do we ever give a minute to thank God for the many blessings we do have? We should often think about these and show our gratitude, especially this time at Christmas. During the season of Christmas, we should remember all God went through in becoming a man for us, even going so far as becoming a helpless baby. God became a child to redeem us. We should also think about the many blessings God has shown us and we often forget about. How ungrateful we are for the many blessings we have. We have the true faith, the sacraments. We have our families and the countless other blessings we have. All the little things we have are from God. And so it is a good time to recall all these things. As it says in today's epistle, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. We must pray with a grateful heart. And so we should also rejoice during this holy season of Christmas, this Advent season. In today's epistle, St. Paul tells us to rejoice always, for the Lord is coming. He goes on to say that we must be prepared for our Lord's coming by prayer. And so he encourages us to make our petitions made known to God. In this way, St. Paul says we will be filled with the peace of God. My dear faithful, today is Gaudete Sunday. In the liturgy, the church reminds us to rejoice, for our Lord will soon come on Christmas Day. The church calls on us to rejoice in the coming of our Redeemer, to prepare for that day. And we do that, as St. Paul says, first of all, by rejoicing, by casting off the cares of this life, by not being solicitous and anxious, worried about worldly things, by being modest, by practicing virtue. And God then will provide for all our needs, as he has so often did for his chosen people in the Old Testament. Like with the king Ezekias, he sent that angel to save the city of Jerusalem at the last moment when all seemed lost. And so we too must rejoice and remember God is always there for us. There is no reason to worry, be afraid, or be anxious. God is on our side. For truly, how can we not rejoice at the joy we should experience in having been called to the one true faith and having hope in our eternal salvation? For that is how St. Paul and the saints were able to rejoice in persecutions and in suffering. Do you know that St. Paul suffered scourgings 5 times? 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked 3 times. Even one time with those shipwrecks, he was left in the sea an entire day and night. And still, he said he was able to rejoice. And so with the saints, we will experience this peace and joy that only God can give us, that surpasses all understanding. Because we will have a pure conscience that made St. Paul and the saints rejoice exceedingly. It was this that sustained the martyrs and consoled them in their many sufferings for God's sake. There's no greater joy on earth than that which is a result of a pure conscience, rejoicing in the true faith and living a good Catholic life. Let us then, as the Church urges us today, to prepare for Christmas, to prepare by prayer. Today, she has us read St. Paul's epistle, in which he exhorts us to pray and to place our petitions before God. For it is only by prayer that we can accomplish anything. As Gary Gulagrange, the greatest theologian of the last century, said, we can only accomplish anything by God's grace, but we can only receive God's grace by prayer. Therefore, we must pray. And nothing can be more easy than to pray. For prayer is simply the lifting up of our minds and hearts to God. It is a conversation with Him. As St. Francis de Sales said, to pray is to raise the mind to God and to converse with Him. It is to open one's heart to Him and pour it out unreservedly. It is to tell God of our work, our needs, our sins, and all that is in our soul, to find our rest in Him, as we would with a friend. So what better way can we prepare for Christmas and for our Lord's coming than by thinking of Him and talking to Him? Do this then by thinking about all our Lord did for us on that first Christmas night over 2,000 years ago. Often recall those events of those days. And in doing so, you will prepare yourselves as Our Lady and St. Joseph did for our Lord's birth. Do this when you say your rosary. Think about these things. How St. Joseph and Mary prepared for that Christmas night when Christ would be born. Think about the Nativity and our Lord born in the stable. Let us then, my dear faithful, prepare our hearts well during the remaining days of Advent. Faithfully say your daily rosary and your daily prayers. In fact, make a resolution to say your prayers with more attention and devotion during this next week. Make a novena of prayers to offer the Christ child on Christmas. Whether the novena consists in your daily rosary or some special prayer, generously and faithfully recite this prayer for the infant Christ this next week. And also, make a good confession, especially if you have been away for a while. Make a good confession so that you can receive our Lord on Christmas night. And if you do these things, our Lord will consider you worthy to appear before Him in Holy Communion and give you that true peace which will fill your heart and permeate your life. There is no more powerful comfort in sorrow than in humble and devout prayer, confiding to God all your wants and needs, just as the King Ezekias did in the story, which saved the city of Jerusalem. And so as the church prays in the communion prayer for today's Mass, say to the faint-hearted, take courage and fear not. Behold, our God will come and He will save us. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.